This past week, I had a crisis of identity. It was challenging, to say the least. It started pretty much Monday afternoon and really kicked full force in Tuesday, Wednesday, and even into Thursday. And it was difficult. I don't know if any of you have ever been challenged to your core to, you know, wonder what it is you're doing or who it is you are, and you know, your friends and your contacts and places you're supposed to be. But it was super challenging this week, and it's all because I lost my phone. Yes, my crisis of identity was in losing my smartphone. And any of you that have ever lost your PDA, your smartphone, you kind of understand what that looks like. And the staff around here can probably paint a pretty clear but grim picture of what I looked like on Tuesday as I stood in my office. No, it's not. And as I walked through the halls, oh, it was bad. It was very bad. It was almost ugly. And the worst part of it is I still today do not know where my poor phone is. I mean, that's got to be the worst feeling, I think, of all of it. I mean, if I knew that I had kind of set it on the roof of the car when I was getting in, or had it on my lap and I got out and it's gone. I know it's gone, but I don't know what I did with it. I don't know if I left it somewhere, if someone stole it. It's just that is probably the most unnerving thing. So, just so you know, I am in touch with my phone again, or a phone, I should say. I didn't find it, but in light of living simply, I have gone back to the first generation iPhone. Someone who had gotten a 3GS decided to be nice and say, here's first generation. And although I have my contacts and my calendar, it's now a little slower than what I was used to. But that's okay. I can deal with slower, living simply. Actually, I hear they're coming out with possibly a new one in the summer, and I'm kind of waiting to see what happens. So anyway, it was a challenge. It was a challenge in my identity. It challenged me to the core of what I was supposed to do and where I was supposed to go. And Tuesday was a great example. Monday was nice. I lost it on Monday, and I still had hopes that it was kind of either at the house or here somewhere at the church and that kind of good stuff. So I kind of resigned to the fact, oh, I'll find it tomorrow. And Monday night, we went out to a movie and left all the kids at home, and it was nice not to have the phone. Didn't want to know if the house was burning down. I'd find out sooner or later. You know, nothing going on during the movie, which was kind of nice and neat. No buzzing or clicking or anything like that. And but then Tuesday came, and full throttle, and I was lost, literally. It felt like my top of my head was cut off. I had no idea. In reality, I did, but kind of like what I was doing. The one thing I did know, because I still had my calendar on my computer, thank goodness for backing up your stuff, but I did know I had a 1 o'clock appointment. It was in there, so I'm like, awesome, it's downtown Orlando. And then it hit full throttle because I was like, okay, 1 o'clock appointment, downtown Orlando. Where? Where was I going in downtown Orlando? I knew, you know, the place, what it was called, but where was it? Oh, I know, I'll call the lady, because she had called on the weekend, left a reminder that my meeting was. Can't call her. Don't know the number. Dog. Well, I have a phone that sits on my desk, and every now and then I answer it. So maybe I'll try that phone. But didn't have the number. So I was like, what did we do before we had technology? Dex knows. So I went looking for Dex. And he wasn't in the cupboard, and he wasn't sitting on the shelf, and poor Dex was nowhere to be found here at Mosaic Church. And the more I thought about it, I don't think I could find Dex, the phone book, if you haven't seen the commercials, at my house either. How many of you still have a phone book laying around? Just a couple of you, but we couldn't find one here. So the next thing is, it was a state government place where I was going, so I figured, I'll go online. I still have my computer. No, it gave me a Tallahassee number. That was no good. So, 411. which I dial 411 and realize it probably cost me like $3 now. I mean, last time I used 411, I think it was a quarter. But anyway, got the, all right, you're on the corner of Robinson and Huey. Awesome. Hung up. Where's Robinson and Huey? And of course, I'm too proud to call the lady back and get directions, right? So I'm like, next best thing, the human GPS, my mother-in-law. So I called my mother-in-law. Actually, my wife did because I was a little embarrassed. So she calls her mom. And it's like, hey, where's this? Oh, and she knows downtown. So it's, you know, go here, go there. We found it. We made it. All was good. But it reminded me how much my life was tied into my calendar and my contacts and my apps and my maps and all of those things that we use on a regular basis. Hence, my identity. Now, before any of you get excited, in the last service, a couple people came up to me and they said they got all excited because they thought that we had put together a Mosaic app and we were going to highlight that. No, sorry, we haven't done that yet. Jeffy, something to work on, though. But the idea was here that my identity was tied into a thing, the phone. My smartphone, my identity, everything that I was supposed to do, the people that I could call, all of that was in my phone. And when it was gone, it was literally a really sad thing to watch me. One of my kids, not so jokingly, said, "Dad, we've never seen you when you aren't playing your games." Ouch, I know, really. It's like, wow, maybe I should hang out with my kids more often. So, but then it started me thinking, if I am so tied into everything that I do, everything I find myself, you know, the people that I want to contact, the things that I want to do, the places I want to go are tied into this little thing that I wear on my hip or hold in my hand or whatever. I started thinking off of last week's message. Renaud shared a Hebrew phrase. Do you guys, any of you remember what that Hebrew phrase was? Go ahead. What is it? What? Dayenu. Very good. That is Hebrew. And it does mean it is enough. And I started thinking about that. It was a beautiful day, and we had all that breakfast stuff, but I actually learned something too. Dayenu, it is enough. And when Christ said that, he said it in his last living breath as he hung on the cross. He said, our translation says, it is finished. But the phrase is, it is enough. It is finished. And I started thinking about that about Thursday when I was okay because I had the old generation phone. I was feeling a little bit better about myself. Is Christ enough? Because oftentimes I, in my Christian walk, am much like I was when I lost my phone, right? Is I walk through life and my Christianity is all about what I do and the people I know and the people I hang out with and the places I'm going to and the scriptures that I read. And all those things are important, but do they identify who I am? Do the things that I do tell me who I am, or is it who I am that tells me the things that I do? For that is our identity. And my challenge for myself this week, and what I throw my challenge out to you is, where is your identity? Is your identity found in the things that you do? Or is your identity found in who you are in Christ Jesus? Because when Christ was hanging on the cross and with his final living breath on the cross, he said, it is enough. Yes, it was enough for our sin, to cover our sin. He was enough. He is enough. He was enough and is enough to provide eternal life for every single one of us. But he was enough and is enough in another arena of our life, our identity. Our identity, who we are, as Christ followers, should be found in him. Galatians 2:20. If you want to turn there, there's Bibles in the seats in front of you. If you have your own Bible, Galatians 2:20, it's page 808 in the Bibles in the seat. Galatians 2:20. I will read it. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, or the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Last week, celebrating Easter, death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, we oftentimes live in the understanding of that resurrection, that Christ died for our sins and he was raised from the dead so that we can live in eternity with him. That is awesome. We do need to grab a hold of that. But what we often lose is we often lose our identity in that, the identity that he provided. You see, in there, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. As Paul said that, we can say that as well. Have you been crucified with Christ? Has your old nature been crucified with Christ? And not only there, but do you no longer live, but Christ live in you? You see, it's in Christ living in us that we find our identity. As we grow, as we mature, as we find meaning and fulfillment as Christ followers, this is all based on our identity, who we are in Christ, and who Christ is in us. So next week, Renaud's going to come back from vacation, and he's going to stand up here and doing much better than I probably ever will. He's going to talk about Sermon on the Mount. He's going to start walking through the Beatitudes, the attitudes that we as Christians should be. Not necessarily have, but be. And as he starts walking through the Beatitudes, he's going to talk about how we need to be merciful and meek, and we need to be peacemakers, and we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we should, all of those things, we should be doing all of those things. But it's not in doing those things that we become Christians. It is because we are Christ followers, because we are Christians, that allows us to do those things. As I walked through this past week and was challenged in my identity, yes, by what I was supposed to do and who I could call and who I couldn't and where I could go and where I couldn't because I'm brain dead without my phone, but even more so, challenged in who I am in Christ Jesus and the things that he's called me to do and released me to do, was I doing those because of the doing? Or was I able to do those because of who he has created me to be? I would say the latter. So before we go into the Beatitudes, I think it is imperative before we learn how to be a Christian, we learn who it is to be a Christian, who we are in Christ Jesus. In Romans 8:16, it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are sons of God." And we can add daughters in there too. 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God." Just two scriptures that speak to the fact of who we are in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ Jesus, we are sons and daughters of the living God. And that's just one thing. There's a plethora. I'm going to share some in a minute. But what I want to remind us, it's not what we do that determines who we are. It's who we are that determines what we do. So as we figure out who we are in Christ Jesus, all the things that God has made us to be, then we can do the things that he's called us to do. You see, we don't follow God to be loved. At least I hope you don't. We are already loved. God loves us unmeasurably. And because of that, that's why we follow him. See, we don't serve to gain God's acceptance. We're already accepted. And because I'm accepted and loved and dearly loved, then I can turn around and serve. But I think we get that backwards sometimes because in our Christian walk, what we do is we have a tendency, maybe not you, but I do, I have the tendency to focus on the practical scriptures, the scriptures that tell me the things I need to do to have life and have it more abundantly, the scriptures that tell me what it is to walk in faith. And those scriptures are great, as all scripture is. But what we do in focusing on those is we don't focus or we spend too little time on the doctrinal scriptures, the scriptures that tell us who God is and who we are in relation to God, about our sin, and the sacrifice that Christ made for us, and the salvation that he provided for us. We spend little time on those. So what I want to do is I want to walk into some of those scriptures. Now, as I read these, this is only a partial list of who that is, or what that is. But here's some things that God says about us. He says, "I am the branch of Jesus Christ," in John 15. "A true vine is Jesus, and I am a channel of his life." John 15, "I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit." 1 Corinthians, I am God's temple. 2 Corinthians, I am a minister of reconciliation for God. Ephesians, I am seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians, I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I may approach God with freedom and confidence. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a child of God. God is spiritually my Father. I am free from condemnation. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. I am free from any condemnation. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am confident that God will complete the good work that He started in me. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. God will provide all of my needs according to His riches and glory. I am God's child. I am a friend of Jesus. I have been justified. I have been united with Christ. I am one with Him in spirit. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been chosen by God and adopted as His child. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all of my sins. I am complete in Christ. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Christ Jesus. You see, when God rolled out creation, when He put Adam on the earth, created Adam from the dust, there were a couple things that He had established in Adam. Three things He'll talk about: significance, safety and security, acceptance. Those three things. There's more, but those three things in particular I want to talk about this morning. All right? When God created Adam, He created him with significance. Adam had a divine purpose. He had a purpose that he was created for. He was created to rule over all of other creation, God said. And after that, He said that He will give him the garden to take care of. So Adam had a divine purpose. As far as safety and security, Adam's needs, all of Adam's needs were taken care of. They were met in the garden. Adam didn't want for anything. Everything that he needed was provided. And then the third area, acceptance and belonging, is Adam had intimacy. He was created for intimacy with God. I mean, how more intimate could it be that a guy walks around naked, comfortable, talking to God? That's pretty intimate, right? And not only that, God said, you know what? Hanging out with me isn't quite enough. I don't want man to be alone. So He created Eve to walk alongside. So three areas that we struggle with on a regular basis: significance, safety and security, and accepted, that you're accepted, acceptance and belonging. And what had happened was, is when sin came into the picture, all of that was wiped out. So today, we wander this earth, and I'd venture to say, if you were to search your heart of hearts, what we spend pretty much the bulk of our waking hours doing is looking for significance, for safety and security, and for acceptance. At least I do. I struggle with it every day. But Dayenu, it is enough. Jesus said, it is enough. Not just enough to wipe out sin, not just enough to provide eternity for us. Jesus said, I am enough. It is enough. My sacrifice is enough that you regain the identity that man was created for. In our rebirth, we regain our identity. Why? Because our significance is no longer found in who we are or what we do. Our significance now is found in Christ Jesus and what He's created us and prepared in advance, Ephesians 2 says, for us to do. You have significance as a Christ follower because He's purposed and planned for you to do something in His kingdom. You have safety and security because we have all things according to His riches and glory. If we seek Him first, He will give us all the things that we need. That is a tough one for me. that everything I need, God has provided. Everything. And then we are accepted. Because when Christ cried those words out with his last breath on the cross, it is enough. The veil that separated God and man was torn in two. And God was re-inviting us back into that intimacy. I don't want to be separated from you guys anymore. So we have that intimacy again with God. So we have significance. We have safety and security. And we have acceptance through Christ Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. And what we need to do is buy into that, understand what that is. As I read, you're not going to memorize all of those things. But what I will challenge you to do is spend some time in God's Word and find out who you are in Christ Jesus. Not just the child, but you're a saint. You're a chosen one, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. You were created with a plan and purpose to further his kingdom. You want something really good to do? Read Ephesians. The whole book of Ephesians. The whole book of Ephesians will run through exactly who we are in Christ Jesus. You see, in Jesus, every one of us has the same opportunity for meaning and a wholeness and purpose in life, because they're not products of what we do or don't do, or what we have or don't have. Our meaning, our purpose, our life is based on what Christ has already provided for us. It is enough. It is enough. You and I are unique individuals that possess a life of infinite meaning and purpose because of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us.